if Microsoft needs AWS. What does that say about your cloud strategy? If Microsoft needs AWS to manage its own enterprise workloads, it forces a critical look at how the rest of the industry approaches infrastructure. Long before Azure was the powerhouse it is today, Microsoft engineers were among the early enterprise users running workloads on Amazon EC2. That was back in 2006, when EC2 was still in beta and cloud computing was a novel idea rather than the backbone of modern IT. While Microsoft would eventually build its own massive cloud ecosystem, their early willingness to leverage Amazon's experiment highlighted a pragmatic instinct that is worth remembering today. Nearly two decades later, the pattern is repeating. Reports indicate that GitHub, which Microsoft owns, has turned to AWS for additional compute capacity as demand from AI-assisted development tools has surged. Same instinct, different era. Use whichever infrastructure gets the job done, regardless of whose logo is on it. What's actually happening? AI coding tools have changed the shape of demand on developer platforms almost overnight. Commit volume and usage on GitHub have reportedly spiked well beyond what internal capacity planning accounted for. AI-assisted coding didn't just increase the number of developers writing code. It increased how much code each developer produces, how often they commit, and how much infrastructure a single engineer can now touch in a day. That's a different kind of growth curve than most capacity models were built for. Rather than wait for Azure capacity to catch up or throttle usage while it did, Microsoft appears to have leaned on a direct competitor's cloud to keep GitHub running smoothly for its users. For a company that owns one of the three major hyperscalers and has spent years building out Azure specifically to reduce its dependency on outside infrastructure, that's a notable decision. It means the calculus in the moment wasn't which cloud do we prefer, it was which cloud can handle this right now without disrupting the millions of developers relying on this platform. The real story isn't Microsoft, it's the instinct behind the move. It's tempting to read this as a Microsoft story, a headline about one company's infrastructure choices. It's more useful to read it as a data point about how sophisticated technology organizations actually behave when the pressure is real, as opposed to how they describe their strategy in public. If the company, with its own cloud platform, its own capital, its own engineering talent, and every incentive to keep workloads in-house, still reaches for a competitor's infrastructure under pressure, that undercuts a lot of the advice IT leaders hear about standardizing on a single vendor to simplify operations and reduce risk. Consolidation is often pitched as a maturity signal, a sign that an organization has its architecture figured out. In practice, the organizations with the most at stake tend to keep more optionality open, not less. Multicloud isn't a hedge against incompetence, it's a hedge against reality. Demand spikes, outages happen, pricing shifts, acquisitions change the technology landscape overnight, and capacity doesn't always show up where or when you need it. The organizations best positioned to handle that aren't the ones that bet everything on one vendor's roadmap. They're the ones that kept enough flexibility to move when the situation called for it, even if that flexibility never gets mentioned in a press release. Why this keeps getting overlooked? Most IT strategy conversations happen at a level of abstraction that doesn't account for moments like this. Vendor scorecards, cost comparisons, and migration roadmaps are all built around normal operating conditions. They rarely stress test what happens when demand triples in a quarter, when a platform faces reliability issues under load, or when a critical dependency changes its pricing structure with little warning. That's precisely the scenario GitHub faced. Nobody built a 5-year capacity plan around a category of tooling that barely existed a few years ago. The lesson isn't that Microsoft's planning failed. It's that even well-resourced planning can't anticipate every shift, and the organizations that fare best are the ones with enough architectural flexibility to adapt in real time, rather than wait for the next budget cycle. What this means for IT leaders. A few practical takeaways apply here, regardless of which vendors are currently in your stack. Plan for demand you can't fully predict. AI-assisted development is the current example, but it won't be the last technology shift to blow past existing capacity models. Infrastructure planning built around last year's usage patterns is already out of date. Build in headroom and review capacity assumptions more frequently than your renewal cycle requires. Vendor-neutral architecture isn't paranoia, it's discipline. Even the largest, most resourced technology companies in the world quietly build in flexibility rather than full dependency. That's worth noticing and worth applying at whatever scale your organization operates. This doesn't mean running everything everywhere. It means designing systems so that a single vendor's capacity issue, price increase, or outage doesn't become an existential problem for your business. Don't take vendor narratives at face value. Public roadmaps, earnings calls, and growth claims are marketing as much as they are information. A vendor's public description of its own reliability and capacity doesn't always match what's happening underneath. Independent verification of what a vendor can actually deliver, at what cost and under what conditions, matters more than what they say they can deliver. Revisit consolidation decisions periodically, not just once. Many organizations make a vendor commitment during a specific budget cycle or leadership mandate and then never formally revisit it. Circumstances change. The vendor landscape changes. What made sense 2 or 3 years ago may no longer reflect the best available options for cost, reliability, or capability. Ask what your exit actually looks like. Before consolidating further with any single vendor, it's worth having a clear answer to what happens if that vendor has a bad quarter, a major outage, or a pricing change you didn't see coming. If the honest answer is, we'd be stuck, that's a conversation worth having before it becomes an emergency. The takeaway. Microsoft's own history is a reminder that even the biggest players in cloud computing don't treat vendor loyalty as a fixed principle. They treat it as a decision to be revisited whenever the situation demands it. Most organizations don't have Microsoft's scale, capital, or leverage, which makes an independent, vendor-neutral view of your own IT strategy even more valuable, not less. That's the conversation we have with clients every day. No vendor bias, no product to sell, just an honest, independent look at where your infrastructure decisions are helping you and where they're quietly introducing risk or excess cost. On average, our clients uncover close to 30% in savings on their existing cloud and IT spend through our zero-fee, performance-based advisory model. If it's been a while since anyone looked at your cloud strategy without a sales quota attached to the conversation, let's talk.